Recognition, power, and influence is your birthright, and this podcast shows you how to get there. Welcome to episode number 200. Today's episode is super, super special, not just because it's episode 200, which is a gigantic milestone, especially if you know anything about the podcasting community. Most episodes don't make it past the first 10, and I have been going strong for several years now, never missed a week, and I am so proud of that accomplishment and really just so proud of being able to put out this amazing content for you every single week. But also, today's episode marks another really big milestone in my career, and that is my amazing ability to celebrate my non-linear career path. Now, that might not seem like as big of a celebration as 200 podcast episodes, but for me, it is. And if you're anybody who's taken a bunch of zigzags in your career, you know how difficult it is to really embrace those zigzags and to see that as part of your career journey. And not only just to embrace it, but to know that that is why you are so successful in the role that you have today. Pretty much nobody does a linear career path, even though that's what we think we're going to get when we graduate from college. Yet we beat ourselves up over and over again because we tell ourselves things like we have to start over, or we're going backwards, or we have to take a lateral move, or we're not really sure what's next. If we learn to embrace it as what it is and celebrate that about ourselves, then so many more things become possible in the future. So today's episode is celebrating that nonlinear career path for myself and hopefully giving you permission to begin to do that as well. All right, let's get started. Welcome to Women Changing Leadership. I am your host, Stacey Mayer, and I teach you how to get promoted, get paid, and bring your whole self to the leadership table. I am on a mission to change organizations from the C-suite out, because women are the new face of leadership, and we are doing it on our terms. Hello, corporate badasses. Welcome to another episode of Women Changing Leadership. I'm your host, Stacey Mayer, and super excited, as always, to be here with you again this week. Today's episode is sponsored by the goddess Sekhmet. Be strong. You are stronger than you think you are, and your strength assures a happy outcome. You are stronger than you think you are, and your strength assures a happy outcome. I love this card that I just pulled for you all today because I recently pulled this. We just went through Mercury retrograde and there were just a lot of changes happening in my business and in the stars. And I actually pulled this card as a reminder to help guide me through Mercury retrograde and the changes. The image on this card is of a woman sitting on a throne with maximum strength, like a queen. I actually had this coaching conversation with one of the women inside of my leadership table mastermind, and we were talking about how she has this new persona. And it felt to me like she was incredibly regal. She was talking about how the next best opportunity was right around the corner, but she wasn't going to take just anything. So she was literally like open to receiving next best opportunity, but she also wasn't scrambling and stressing out and wondering and wishing and hoping that something was going to happen for her. And I was like, oh, you sound a little bit like a queen sitting on your throne. And this beautiful picture of Sekhmet is of a queen sitting on her throne, strong and powerful, waiting, but also knowing that the next best opportunity is right around the corner. So with each of these oracle cards that I pull at the beginning of my episodes, I invite you to think about ways this week that you can begin to bring that quality into your life, your everyday life, whether that's in your career or your family or whatever might be going on for you, to remember that not only to be strong, but that you are strong and that that is when the best opportunities come your way. All right, everyone. Today, before I get into today's episode, I have to celebrate Oh my gosh. I had like the Summer of Magic ended on September 21st from a technical perspective. It was the last day of summer. And I had an influx of wins come into me that last week. So as you know, we were celebrating 108 promotions over the summer. I think we ended up celebrating over 130 plus promotions. But the last week was just email after email after email of women who were like, hey, I got in just under the radar. My promotion was just announced. And one of those women is my beloved client, Diane Redelick. And Diane and I started working together one-on-one and also inside of the Leadership Table Mastermind a couple of years ago. And she works in the biotech field. And I'm 90% sure. I'd have to go back through my notes. When we first started working together, she was a vice president. And within the first 6 months, I coached her into becoming a senior vice president. You may not know this, but my Leadership Table program is a 6-month contract. And like 90% of the women inside that program renew every single 6 months for up to 2 to 3 years. And Diane was no exception, because once she became senior vice president, then it was, how do I become successful as a senior vice president? And that's what we worked on for the next 6 months. And then she sort of went on to becoming, how do I get a COO position? And she sends me this email, and actually I haven't seen her for a little while because apparently she's been knee deep in an acquisition. And so I hadn't heard from her. We haven't been coaching together one-on-one. But as soon as her promotion got announced, she emailed me right away. She said, sharing my win for today, I am now president COO of Primrose Bio. You've helped so much on this journey. Even these past months when I've been out of touch and knee deep working on this deal, so pleased with the outcome and looking forward to the future. Last week on our Leadership Table call, we celebrated Diane and the impact that she's making at the Leadership Table. I am so, so excited for her for this next best opportunity. And it's just, it's absolutely incredible to see so many women cross over that mark to those higher level executive positions. And I shared this with my women on the call, but you know, and we all know this, it goes without saying, but why I'm even more excited about this opportunity for her is because I know how she got there and the level of her ability to be able to sustain this role in the way that she wants to do it, right? She created this position on her terms, right? That is the only thing I coach on, is how to advance our careers on our terms, how to get that recognition, to have real power and influence only means that we do it in our way. And so I know that that's how Diane created this for herself. And so then therefore now she's going to be able to make a really huge impact and affect so many people's lives and also customers and clients with the incredible work that Primrose Bio is going to be doing and the science behind it. I'm so, so, so excited. Congratulations, Diane. I'm very, very proud of you. I know you're listening. And into today's episode, which is also episode number 200. Woo! I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do for episode 200, but I always love these milestones. My mom actually turned 70 years old this past weekend, and she said, you know, I don't really care too much about my birthdays, right? I don't want presents. I don't really think about it too much. But the decades I care about, right? And I always do something very special. And we were kind of going back through each decade and really thinking about what was it that she did that was so special decade after decade. And this year was no exception. We had such a wonderful party with her family, with her close friends. And it was just absolutely incredible. So happy birthday, Mom. I think you're probably listening to this as well. The reason I say that is because these milestones are very, very important. It's important that we celebrate them. And so I am celebrating my milestone 200 by sharing with you what the heck improv performer from Louisville, Kentucky knows about getting promoted to the executive suite. Like, how in the world did this happen? And that question was inspired by a conversation that I had with one of my team members. And You know, this question doesn't come up a lot because for my clients and for potential clients and those of you who have been following me, you don't really care how I know how to do all of these things, how I know how to get you promoted. You just care if it works, right? You know, I mean, that's the way a lot of things are. Like, I don't care about whether or not my masseuse got her degree or how she figured out how to be a great masseuse. I just care that she's a great masseuse. I just care how she makes me feel, right? Do I get the result that I want? And I know that's the case for many of you. So I very rarely get asked this question, but the woman on my team was asking me because, you know, she helps me write some of my content and she just wanted to further understand. But also I think that there's an amazement to like, wait, how in the world, like, and I think that's what she actually asked me, how in the world did an improv performer from Louisville, Kentucky end up becoming an executive coach for women to get them promoted to the executive suite? Like, how did this happen? I answered her and I thought about it and I was like, well, you know, this is how it happened. And I wanted to record today's episode to celebrate that 200 milestone with you, but also to remind you that we absolutely do not take linear paths. And if you're feeling like a little underqualified for executive leadership, like who am I to get myself promoted into the C-suite when, you know, I don't have that level of expertise? I've never been an executive leader before. You know, many of you have never even thought of yourself as an executive leader. You were pretty tied to your subject matter expertise. And now you get to a point and you're like, huh, I think I could be a VP, but I never really identified as a vice president. Like, what does it mean to be a vice president? Hopefully my story today can inspire you that anybody can do any of this work because it's all about the results that you get for your team, the results that you get for your organization. And are you able to lead? Are you able to build those relationships? Are you able to troubleshoot as needed? Can you make tough decisions when needed? Can you create a strategy, a plan, long-term goals? All of those things are totally learnable. Leadership is a learned skill. And coaching you about leadership is a learned skill that I've been learning throughout my lifetime. So I came up with three different pivotal moments in my life that I think really point to why I'm able to do this work so successfully. And I wanted to share them with you today. So I started out this episode wishing my mom a happy birthday. And something that you need to know about my mom is, one is she's my best friend. That wasn't always the case, for sure. But she's the person that I talk to, I look up to, I think about, you know, everything that I do is based on how she brought me up and the values that she lived by. But one moment in particular that really stands out is when I was 6 years old, she and my dad got divorced and my mom didn't have a job at the time. So now she was going to be a single mother. And so she had to go get a job. And we're from Louisville, Kentucky. So UPS is really big there. And so she was applying for a job and I helped her interview for this job at age 6. So I remember quizzing her and asking her questions to get her ready for this job. And she was very nervous about it. She didn't have a college degree. She didn't know what to expect. But she went in there, she nailed it, she got the job. So that was the first coaching experience that I had in terms of getting a woman a job, right? Like that was my first opportunity where I successfully got somebody hired at an organization. And I take credit for that. I think my mom would probably give me credit for that too. But what really transformed for me in watching my mom build this career without a college degree is that I had zero expectations about what was required for you to be successful in your job. So my mom was hugely successful because of her brains, because of her ability to understand the teams that she was leading over the years. She ended up retiring as a director at Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. And her path to becoming a director was built on one relationship after another, understanding the role in the moment, troubleshooting in the moment. It wasn't built because of her paper qualifications. And I really, really took that to heart, that anything was possible, that you could do and be and create anything. And I still believe that. And I work with each of you because that is what is true to me, right? This is what drives me, is that we don't have to do things the traditional way. And what I really notice is that people who carve their own path, people who are those, you know, wayfinders, and they create their own routes in the world, those are the people that have to kind of break through preconceived notions, right? The people who have to do things their own way. But they don't have to do it in a way that denies traditional success. So a lot of people think that in order to pave your own path, you have to quit and start your own business or be your own boss. But that's not the case at all. My mom worked for other people. She was a director. She managed huge teams. She outsourced responsibility. She was an incredible delegator. She was an incredible boss. So many people came to her retirement party and looked up to her. And she worked within a system to create a path that made sense for her. And that's what I help you do. I help you pave a path that makes sense for you in particular. And we create that path together. So speaking of paths, the second thing that I think really led to my success of being able to coach executive women to get promoted to the executive suite is my ability to understand human behavior. You might have an organization that has done improv classes. You might have heard of Second City, where they do team building exercises, right? And a lot of times people think that those types of workshops and the benefit of those types of workshops is because you get to get out of, you know, break out of your shell, right? You know, you're in this stuffy corporate environment. You get to be silly on stage, funny, goofy on stage. And I loved all of that about improvisation. Let me also clarify that I trained in, I performed in, I did multiple performances a week for almost 20 years of my life. I was a professional improviser in New York City and Chicago. And I also traveled around. And the work that I did was not, I did some of the funny improv, right? If you're familiar with, you know, some of those quick improv games. And I think that's probably what they would do at the team building exercises. But what I was mostly interested in is the manipulation of human behavior. And what I realized is very quickly is that if I acted a certain way, if I said things in a certain tone, if I communicated with my body language, with information, with words in a certain way, that another human being would react in a certain way. One of the improv games that we do is, and these are all like practice games to get ready to be on stage. It's not always what we do on stage, but one of the games that we do is about power and really how do we show power and influence on stage. And like one example of this, I've actually used this in some of my coaching calls, is that somebody will be very big and wild and like loud on stage. And you can retake power in the room by being quiet, right? So think about it. Somebody's loud, and this happens in your meetings as well. Like a lot of the guys will talk over you, be loud, screaming. And then what you can do is you can retake power and control over the room by being quiet. Now, here's the important part. For a lot of women, what they do is they be quiet, but they shut down, right? They check out, they pull back. But if you're on stage, you can't do that. So what we're doing is like a power play, and I can retake power by literally like moving to a different part of the stage. And then all the eyes on the audience will turn towards me. And like I can manipulate energy in that way. And I learned how to do this for 20 years. I learned how to say a certain thing that would create a certain reaction in the other person on stage. All improv performers can do this. Right? It's amazing. It's magical. It's brilliant. It's incredible to watch. I say all improv performers, but all seasoned and good ones, right? But that is so exciting to study, to think about human behavior and conversation and our energy. And so much of the coaching and so much of what I teach you is about that influencing type behavior. How do we influence somebody to work on our behalf? And sometimes that requires us to be very stern, very clear, very direct in our approach, make the ask, stop talking, move on. And sometimes it requires us to back off a little bit in our energy. Sometimes it requires us to lean in. All of those things that we end up doing to shift the energy in a room. Something else that I learned early on is how to follow other people's energy. So I hired a business coach for my theater business back in the day, and that was my first introduction to coaching. And the woman who coached me was a life and business coach. And she would look at my energy and literally like how I sound. And she, I think she called it like where my light was, and really be able to tell, am I in the right frame of mind to make this decision? And a lot of the coaching that I do is coaching women on their right frame of mind. Are they in that right position to make these sort of big decisions? Now, the third thing that really affected my ability to do any of this coaching, so I have talked to you so far about, you know, the way that I perceive opportunities and the core value, the core truth that I believe that anything is possible, the way that I can manage and understand energy in other people and understand how to influence behavior in them. And then the third piece is, how do I understand the corporate world so well? And this is actually a really funny story. So first of all, it does not go without saying, I love the corporate world. I love it. All right? I love it. And that matters because I know a lot of coaches that can't stand it, right? And they don't like working with corporate women or corporate leaders, unless the corporate company is paying the contract so they make more money. But for me, that's not the business I'm in, right? Like, I'm not in the business of the corporate contracts. I'm in the business of you. But I love the corporate world. I don't get afraid of the politics. I find them incredibly fascinating. Again, it's all about reading energy. I see it as a game. I see it as a contest. I see it as a fun puzzle to solve. And I think that in the corporate world, what's so fascinating about it is that there are these strict rules and structures in place. And then at the end of the day, none of that matters. So one of the things about improvisation is that there are very strict rules and structures in place. And a lot of people don't realize that. Is that improv has such a strong foundation and structure and house built around it. And then within that, we just make a bunch of shit up, right? That's the way it works. And same way with the corporate world, is that there are very strict structures in place, but then within it, we just make a bunch of shit up. And I think for a lot of women, this drives them crazy because they're like, I just want to know the rules. I want to know what I'm supposed to do. But I get very excited about the possibilities to kind of shake things up within a container, within a strong structure. So I got a job working at a hedge fund in New York City while I was an actress and running my own theater company called Manhattan Comedy Collective. I worked at a hedge fund in Midtown Manhattan for almost 10 years, and I loved it. I loved it so much more than waiting tables. I loved the money. I loved the influence. I loved the power of the people around me. I loved the work that we were doing at the hedge fund. I loved the story of the hedge fund founders and how they got there. I just found all of that so fascinating. So I loved the corporate world. I just thought it was fantastic. And I did not shy away from it. So when I went in to start my own coaching business, I absolutely wanted to do executive coaching right out of the gate. I wanted to help people in the corporate world. That made so much sense to me. Entrepreneurial, I knew nothing about, right? Like, I was like, I don't know anything about entrepreneurial world. I mean, I do now, but that's just because I've done it. And I've worked on it for so long and I've had successes and failures, but even still, I don't even want to teach about it. It's like, it's almost like it's too close to home and it's so hard being an entrepreneur. I can't even imagine teaching other entrepreneurs. But corporate women, hell yeah, that's my jam. And that leads me to the finale of my third point, which is that I'm not in the corporate world. And I think that's perfect. I think a lot of executive coaches come up into the executive. Well, it's basically 50-50. You'll see executive coaches that come up into the executive coaching world having gone through the corporate world. Maybe they were a chief people officer and then they started their own coaching business. Maybe they even worked in learning and development, started their own coaching business, worked in human resources. Some of them, you'll even see coaches that did other things at organizations and then started their own coaching business. And then there is the other camp of executive coaches that were never in the corporate world. And I think there's a huge benefit to not having been in it, because what is our understanding of it from the outside looking in is very clear. Like, I know what needs to be said. I know when you need to say it. I know how to win at this game inside the corporate world, but I have zero attachment to what's possible. So when somebody writes me, you know, hey, this is, I actually just received this email today. You know, I work for a company that's based in Europe and they have very different rules about making lateral moves, that they decide that you have to make a bunch of lateral moves, but that's because we're a European organization. And I'm like, that's just what they're telling you. First of all, I don't want to go on a tangent, but why are you asking such a dumb question? And I don't mean dumb, like just like it's not a good question. It's not a good question. How do promotions happen at this company? Like, because of course, they're just going to say something kind of generic in general, right? Oh, you know, they like to make a bunch of lateral moves, or you have to be at the organization. It's all about tenure, right? They're just going to say very generic things. What I want to know is how you got promoted, right? And so that's just my little side tangent, is like, ask the right questions. Ask somebody what about their specific career path. You're going to find out very quickly that maybe they did stay in their role for 5 years and that's how they got promoted. But are they okay with that? Are they happy with that? Maybe they are. That's fine. But that gives you information. That gives you real information versus just the generic feeling because it's a European organization, right? But because I'm on the outside, I'm incredibly objective about this stuff. The other thing is because of my background and my ability to kind of see that bigger picture constantly, to think outside of the box, to have creative ingenuity, is that I'm able to guide the leaders that I work with because they're not exactly like me. And I think that is such a huge gift, such a benefit to the ability to be able to connect and coach so many powerful women to the executive suite. All right. I hope this episode inspires you. I want you to know that you are fully capable and ready to step into a role in the executive suite, even if you've never done it before, even if it's not something you thought about, even if it wasn't your traditional career path. You were always supposed to be an actress in New York City, like me, right? But the work that I've done, and since writing the book and everything that I'm able to do and connect with so many women, is just like way, 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 way more powerful for me than anything I did in the acting world. And I love that period of my life and I'm so grateful for it. But the impact that I'm making now, just like that stuff pales in comparison. I'm so glad I was able to use those skills to turn them into something else and to create this body of work for you and to really be able to help so many of you figure out this craziness called the corporate world and relationships and empowerment and all the things to start to get you that recognition, influence, and power that, as I said at the beginning of today's episode, is truly your birthright. You are capable of so much more than you even know, and I am absolutely thrilled to help you get there. All right, everyone, thank you all so much for listening, and I'll see you next week. Bye. Before you go, I have a question for you. Do you know how close you are to your next promotion? Really? Not what your boss has told you, not what you even believe to be true, but have you actually taken the time to sit down, take an assessment, review the five categories that it takes to get promoted into senior executive leadership positions, and decided where you fall in each category, and given yourself a ranking on a scale of 1 to 10 of how close you are to getting your next promotion? Have you done this? Well, now's your chance. If that feels interesting to you and you're like, hey, I want to know exactly how close I might actually be, or how far away you might be, and what it's going to take to get you even closer, then I invite you to take my promotability quiz. This is a quiz that I put together with practical tips that actually tell you where you're lacking and where you're winning. What are the areas that you actually need to improve, and not necessarily what your boss is telling you all the time, so that you can take concrete steps towards landing that next promotion and changing the face of the leadership table. Go to yourpromotabilityscore.com to take your free assessment today. yourpromotabilityscore.com, and let me know how it goes.